The Old Testament reading for the last Sunday of the church year is from Isaiah chapter 51. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Jude. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. Jesus said, "In those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is our gospel lesson just read, Mark 13, 24 to 37. The sermon title is, "Are You Ready for the End?" Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, now that the elections are over, the national news has returned to normal topics like national disasters and the wars today in Ukraine and the Middle East. Speaking of national disasters, this year's Atlantic hurricane season is almost finished. Officially, it concludes about a week from now. And these were the major hurricanes, if you watch such things, And these are all the ones that were category 3 or higher for this year. Beryl in June, Helene in September, Kirk in October, Milton in October, and Raphael in November. Now, the hurricane I remember the most, I've never lived in the southeast of the United States, but the one I remember most was Hurricane Sandy in late October 2012. And it was not because I was on the East Coast then, but because I lived in New York City for 4 years, and I recognized many of the places in New York and New Jersey that got pounded or flooded. And it was a disaster. Hurricane Sandy has the distinction of being the largest Atlantic hurricane on the record books in diameter, reaching 1,100 miles in diameter. That's halfway across the United States. Hurricane Sandy caused 250 fatalities and $93 billion in US dollars, that's today's dollars. Places in New York badly damaged included Staten Island, Coney Island, the Rockaways, Breezy Point, and pretty much any low-lying areas in Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Queens. Even more damaging were the ocean surges that hit Atlantic City, Ocean City, the Jersey Shore, and the Barrier Islands farther south. Sandy was unlike many other storms in that, in this case, people had plenty of warning where it was going to hit. You can see it on the maps today. They knew that far in advance. European meteorologists predicted that the New Jersey coast and New York City would get a direct hit 12 days before it happened. Now here, you know, you get an earthquake, you have no warning whatsoever. 12 days. 3 days before Sandy hit, the U.S. and the state governments ordered and advised evacuation from the coastal areas of Maryland, Delaware, New Jersey, and New York. In all the places that would be damaged by Sandy, police, fire, and other civic officials told the residents to leave 3 days ahead of time. And after battening down the hatches, most people left, but not all of them left. Now, what were those people who stayed, who were in low-lying areas, what were they thinking, staying in their homes or apartments when they were told to leave? 12 days in advance warning. Some didn't believe the government authorities because hurricanes rarely cause large damage outside of the Caribbean islands, Florida, the southeast coast, and the Gulf Coast. People in those places are used to preparing to leave every hurricane season. You can see the signs, hurricane routes on the highways. But those in the Mid-Atlantic didn't think the storm would be worse than the last one they'd had. Some thought their home was too high to be affected. Some maybe didn't have transportation to leave town. Some were shut-ins who couldn't leave their home and nobody was watching for them. Others just didn't want to bother. All who stayed regretted, and some are dead. Now, Hurricane Sandy is just a drop in the bucket compared to the natural disasters that will overcome the world just before Jesus returns. Just like many people ignore the warnings about Hurricane Sandy, many people ignore the warnings that Jesus gave about the end of the world. Now, there's no doubt that Jesus taught these things to his disciples because they're reported in 3 out of the 4 Gospels, and the disciples heard it, and they passed it on to us. Jesus' sermon about the end of the world is found in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark chapter 13. the omens or the unusual signs of Jesus' return are in our gospel, verses 24 to 25. It says, "The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken." Luke 21, 25 adds, "The sea and the waves will be roaring." And then as a result of these omens, there will be, quote, "distress of nations with perplexity, men's heart failing them from fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth." Luke 21, 25 to 26. Now, the Christian religion is not unique in a belief in the end of the world or these type of signs of the end. Zoroastrianism, which was dominant in Persia for a while, Judaism, Islam, and most forms of Christianity predict similar events at the end of the world. Other religions, such as Hinduism and Buddhism, believe in cycles of history, punctuated by natural disasters, which completely destroy the old world and then usher in a new world. Only liberal Protestants and other modern forms of unbelief reject the idea of the end of the world altogether. They believe that humankind will continue to evolve towards some future golden age, and that this is our evolutionary destiny. Now, there are other ideas about it too. Many Protestants in the United States believe in or have been influenced by millennial ideas. Millennialists ignore the clear teaching of Jesus in our gospel. Instead of looking to the omens in the sun, moon, stars, and oceans in the sky, what Jesus talked about in our text, millennialists try to detect the plans of God by calculations from biblical prophecy and by interpreting current events. So they look at newspapers and they say, oh, there's the proof. It's going to happen then. And they especially look at what's happening to the Jews and the Holy Land. So you can bet right now they're really interested. These ideas were rejected in the Augsburg Confession, Article 7, which states, "Rejected are certain Jewish opinions which are even now making an appearance, and we teach that before the resurrection of the dead, saints and godly men will possess a worldly kingdom and annihilate all the godless." People who think that they can determine the time of the end of the world and when Jesus will return need to hear Jesus' own words in our gospel. In verses 32 to 33, Jesus says, "Concerning that day or that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on your guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come." That's Jesus' own words. Now, I'm always amused when I meet people or Christians who think they know better than Jesus himself when the time of the end will come. Yes, even Jesus doesn't know. And Jesus is God, you know, with omniscience and foreknowledge and everything else that pertains to God. So if Jesus doesn't know the year, day, and hour, no mere man will know, and that's for sure. So what can you do to be ready for the end of the world? If everything in the world is going to be destroyed, what good does it do to stockpile supplies or build concrete bunkers or move to a remote part of the world? What good does it do to back up your computer files? I don't think there will be Apple computers in heaven. Or packing up your family photos. None of that's going to survive the end of the world. It only has use here on this earth for present and future generations. What can you do to be ready? You can't protect your stuff, and you can't take it with you, but you can protect your faith. Jesus says, verse 35 to 37, I repeat this, therefore stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all people, stay awake. In other words, remain spiritually alert. How can you stay spiritually alert? By continuing the practices that Jesus has given to believers to strengthen and exercise their faith. Here are just the most common ones. Number one, attend church on a regular basis. Pay attention to the lessons and the sermons. Two, say the confession of sins, receive the absolution, and receive Holy Communion on a regular basis, which gives you the forgiveness of sins. Attend Bible class on Sunday or at other times when it is offered. Four, pray daily, both privately and as a couple or a family. Five, study the scriptures on your own. Six, share the gospel with people who don't believe among your family, friends, and neighbors. Seven, read good Lutheran literature like Portals of Prayer, the Book of Concord, the works of Martin Luther, and things we have in our library. By the way, don't check anything out right now. It's under inventory. But when it's done, there's a lot of good stuff there. And eight, encourage and support your fellow congregation members and other Christians through good times and bads. We could all use encouragement at certain times. As this church year comes to an end, I pray that you may renew your commitment to Jesus and his word so that your faith may be strengthened day by day and all the more as we await Jesus' return in glory. In Jesus' name, amen.